After a gut-wrenching game five, the Knicks head back down to Philly, in which will be an absolute battle. We'll talk a little bit about game five, but it's on to game six. They're playing
basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation Podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game!
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's up, Knicks Nation? We are back doing a podcast, episode 50 of the Knicks Nation Podcast. Appreciate every single one of you for tuning in, hopping in here. Look, game five was brutal. As we all know, game five was brutal. Couldn't sleep last night, Chris. Woke up today just with a knot in my stomach. But as the day progressed, started to get, you know, ready for game six and whatnot. But Chris, how are you?
I'm as good as I possibly can be after that game five finish, man. Look, it was tough loss. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. I mean, what, 25 seconds away from sealing, closing out the series, and, you know, moving on to the second round. But, look, man, it didn't happen. A gut punch to the New York Knicks and the fan base. Yes. You know, a tough pill to swallow. But, like you said, man, woke up not feeling the best, couldn't sleep. But it is what it is. We got to move on. It's on to game six, and we have business to take care of. How are you feeling, Ant?
I love that. We got business to take care of, man. We still up 3-2 in this series. Game five is, look, it was a tough game, obviously. But we lost the battle. We didn't lose the war. It's a seven-game series. Every game is its own chapter. The book isn't closed yet. I know it felt like the moods were kind of like we lost the series. It was like, damn, how can we overcome this? But one thing I know about this Knicks team is that they're battle tested. They've been doing this all year. I know it's going to linger in their mind. If we couldn't sleep, could you imagine what was going on in that locker room, how they were feeling, how Mitchell Robinson was feeling, how Brunson was feeling? Devo was feeling. Look, it's on to game six down in Philly. We got the Philadelphia ownership buying tickets for their fans because Philly fans can't show up to games. So they're buying 2,000 tickets. When I saw that, Chris, I was like, what?
That's crazy. I mean,
but yeah.
Hey, man, I wish Dolan would go out and buy, like, the rest of them and just hand them out to people in New York City as well. But I was listening to the Bart and Han show, and Han actually brought up that, look, I think it was 25% of the tickets that are being sold for Game 6 are from, like, the New York area. You got 34-35% that's from Philly. And then you got, I think, like 15 or 18% that's coming from, like, Jersey, which could be both ways. So,
yeah.
Look, man, game six, regardless, it's going to be crazy in there. It's going to be crazy over in Philly. But I know Knicks Nation is going to travel, and we're going to be heard out there in Philly, just like the last game out there. But going back to game five, man. I don't even know if I would even want to talk about game five much, to be honest with you, but I'm still kind of stuck on it a little bit, man. I mean, it's hard
not to be, but
all the what ifs, but the way I see it, you know, just to kind of put a bow on it and move on from it. Look, Philly was complaining about game two, the Knicks stole a game or whatever, you know. Now, to me, it's all tied up now, you know, no more excuses. Game five was the makeup, you know. Now it's on to game six. We just got a battle. You know, Philly has some life now. We got a battle. We got to close this out game six, in my opinion.
A lot of stuff to point to in game five. Obviously, the Mitchell Robinson foul on the four-point play was rough. Obviously, the Josh Hart missed free throw. It came out today in the last two-minute report. I don't get why they put those two-minute reports out that Tyrese Maxey traveled on that four-point play. So it never should have gotten to that. It literally just came out a couple hours ago, Chris. I was like, I kind of just want to like rip up that two. I kind of want the NBA to, like, what is the point of that? Like, what? It's just to get us even more upset at the end of the
day. It's like rubbing salt on the wound already, right? I mean, look, I thought that it possibly was a travel to begin with when you saw it. I mean, come on. It was the only thing on the timeline afterwards. I mean,
yes.
You look at it enough and you're like, wait, hold up. There was an extra step there. But I don't like it either, man. I mean, look, I mean, I guess it's one thing just to, you know, give you clarity and show you, like, oh, maybe you're not crazy for seeing something you might have seen or whatever the case may be. But it also just shows you how bad the refs have been this series, man. Just missing big calls, man. Big calls. So I don't know. I don't know what's the point at this point with that last two-minute report.
Yeah, Embiid, I think he got another flagrant, hit Brunson in the head. I think if he gets one more flagrant, he gets suspended for a game. So if he gets a flagrant in game six, he won't be out there if the Knicks were to lose game six. Obviously, he won't be out there for game seven.
Yeah.
But yeah, just you got to find a way to just put that past you. Lynette in the chat said, I had a lousy day after last night's fiasco. My consolation is if they can't pull one out of the next two, then they won't deserve to move on. Knicks were up 3-1 in this series. Do you think the Philadelphia 76ers can really win three straight games? Obviously, that is the nightmare scenario. I kind of don't want to go down that path, but that is the worst case scenario. But that is the beauty of finishing the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. God forbid there's a game seven. It is right on your home court in Madison Square Garden on a weekend. But we're focused on game six. It's going to be down in Philly. Obviously, there were a lot of Knicks fans there Sunday because Sunday afternoon game, a lot of people just traveled there in the morning, got back home probably 6, 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock, and was like, okay, we're good. Thursday night, I'm still expecting a lot of Knicks fans to be there, Chris. But you, like I said, you're getting the ownership, buying the tickets, and they don't want us to overtake that building or whatever. But game six, you know, this playoff series, I kind of just want to start with Dante DiVincenzo. I kind of just want to start with how the Knicks can get Dante DiVincenzo going in this series. Deuce McBride, Chris, has come off the bench and simply outplayed Dante DiVincenzo, and that's not even up for debate. He's been awesome. He's been up to the moment, but Chris Dante shooting 33% in this series from three. That's just not him. He's just not getting open. So speak on that, what you're seeing and whatnot, how the Knicks can get him going in game six.
Yeah, I mean, Dante was a huge part of the regular season run without Julius Randle. I mean, you're talking about Dante putting up 20, 30, 35 points on a given night, just flamethrower from three. Even on nights when he didn't have, you know, the three-point ball going for him, he was being aggressive, driving into the paint. You know, his defense, you know, some people say he gambles a lot on defense, on the passing lanes, and I get that 100%. But, you know, to me, I'd rather have that than somebody who doesn't play defense. Dante in this series, man, look, in the same way that Jalen Brunson was being bothered by the length of the 76ers, I think the same thing is happening to Dante. He just can't seem to shake his man no matter what. They're just following him around everywhere, and whether he's trying to get through a pick to get open, whatever the case may be, he's just not getting clean looks. And then when he is open, he's missing, which is not Dante DiVincenzo, man. So I don't know, man. I don't know what we can do to get him going, but we're going to need him, man. We need him. We've been saying this over and over. Dante's going to have a breakout game. Dante's going to have a breakout game. And look, don't get me wrong. He has hit some big threes, much needed threes in a lot of these games for the Knicks. But we're not getting that, you know, five, six, three-pointers made by Dante DiVincenzo that we were kind of banking on happening this series. So outside of running him through picks, you know, what do you think the Knicks can do to get this guy open?
Dante is shooting 30% from three, 33%. Brunson is shooting 29% from three. And Anobi is shooting 32% from three. A lot of Dante DiVincenzo's looks are from collapses, right? You see a lot of those looks from Brunson breaking down the defense or someone. And those are his best looks when he's open and the Knicks kick it out to him. OG Anunoby, you know, his threes are down too. And his, you know, he's a good catch and shoot three-point shooter, but he's having to take his man off the dribble a lot because the 76ers are doing a great job in closing out on whether it's Dante or whether it's OG Anunoby. The length plays a big part of that. So they're doing a great job in closing, you know, out the three-pointers. And it's just, the Knicks have to figure out whether that's using Dante in more pick-and-roll situations with Jalen Brunson and moving him around more, which I feel like the Knicks will figure something out, but that's mainly it. Like, 76ers are doing a great job in closing out on Dante, and he's having to force a lot of threes, and he's having to, look, he's making, like, obviously we know the big three in game two, but it's just... Yeah, it just hasn't been there for Dante. He hasn't, you know, Deuce has been outplaying him. I saw a lot of things on Twitter saying that should Deuce start over Dante DiVincenzo? I don't think you make a drastic change like that this late.
Yeah.
But he's been playing in the late in the fourth quarter over him. So that's when it matters the most, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. Look, I think running some actions with JB and Dante is a start, right? It's just give it a different look. See if you can make something happen. Kind of similar to what the 76ers are doing with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, right? What you're seeing is all their players go to one side. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid is running a pick and roll. Not that I'm saying run a pick and roll between JB and Dante, but you get the idea. You want those two guys in an action where, you know, maybe JB just does a quick little pass to Devo and his jump shot is, you know, his release is quick enough that he can probably get something off. Yeah. I hope, you know, look, if I had a bank on it, I'm sure Tibbs is going to come up with something or some way to get him open looks. Look, it's game six. We're going to need Dante DiVincenzo, man. We're going to need Dante to give us a boost, man, because, you know, missing Bogdanović, I think, kind of hurts now, man. The rotation is just shrinking and shrinking, man. And we need these guys to step up. It can't just be Jalen Brunson, because we saw in game five, Jalen Brunson tried his best to take us to the finish line in that overtime, and it was just too much one-on-one ISO ball and everybody just standing around watching, man. We cannot have that happen.
Yeah, now with Bogey down, the rotation shrunk to seven. Seven guys. Precious didn't get any playing time in game five. That was a huge topic today. Whether, you know, I thought Precious should have been in there either in the late game situation, subbing out for Mitchell Robinson or whatnot. But hit some of these comments. LV says a lot of Knicks fans in Pennsylvania, so I believe there will be a good amount in the building. PA, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, yeah. Joel, that's Pennsylvania, right? Yeah, I'm bugging. Joel says first two games he was playing good, not amazingly good. Deuce has been legit. Yeah, Joel says it's not easy to shoot. Dante going to go off in game six. I thought Dante was going to go off in game five. I really did. But 76ers are doing a great job in closing out the threes. And look, man, it's just you got to get it done. It's coming down. Obviously, we had this big momentum shift. I don't know, Chris. Do you think it was a momentum shift in that game five? Because the Knicks, you felt it in the air, the celebration. I think Clyde even said on the broadcast, we're going to party like it's 1994. And then all of a sudden, boom, you had that momentum shift. So I would say kind of the momentum is on Philly's side. They're home. But one thing about this Knicks team is that, look, they've always answered the bell. And I don't know. What do you think about the momentum? What are you feeling? Honest opinion.
Look, I agree with the, you know, with the Knicks. Obviously, look, this is a tough-minded group of guys. I have no doubt that they're going to go out in game six and perform. I would be lying to you guys. Look, like I said, I couldn't sleep, man. I could not sleep after that game. I was in a bad mood. I, you know, woke up the next day, legit, I'm being honest, the first thought in my mind was like, how did we lose that game? Which is insane. Did the momentum shift? All I've been saying since we went up 3-1 is you cannot give Philly hope. You got to take them out. Do not give them any confidence. And look, Philly, for the most part, mailed it in game five. The only guy who did not get the memo, Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey literally carried that team on his shoulders, brought them back from the brink, and won that game for them. Joel Embiid, he was in Cancun already. His mind was in Cancun.
I think so too, man. And I feel like most of the guys, but yeah,
most of the guys on the you know, he needs to thank Tyrese Maxey, man, because if Joel Embiid went out like that, he'd be getting destroyed.
Yeah,
destroyed. But yeah, I do think the momentum has swung just because the nature of how Game 5 ended. You know, like you said, most Knicks fans were celebrating. Hell, I thought it was in the bag. I honestly thought Josh Hart was going to hit those free throws, man. But you saw it. You saw it in Josh Hart's eyes when right before that first free throw went up. He just looked like he was...
He's shooting like a weight ball.
Like he really didn't want to be taking those free throws, you know?
Aiming it, yeah.
But yeah, man, I'd be sitting here and lying if I said that the momentum, you know, at least to me, it felt like it swung clearly in the 76ers' favor. You know, game six is at Philly. Obviously, we've had success there. Obviously, they can also, you know, again, both teams have won on each other's courts. So now it's just a battle of attrition, right? Look, Knicks got to win one out of two. Philly has to win two out of two. But right now, can I say for sure that I'm 1,000% confident? I don't know. Look, the Knicks are a tough-minded team, and it's going to be tested in game six. We're going to see how they're going to come out and react, and I'm pretty sure they're going to fight. That's the thing with this team. They're going to fight no matter what. But we got to hope that we close this out in game six, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I would be lying to you if I said the momentum, like if I I would think after that big of a win by Philly that they're feeling great about themselves. But then I think about game two and how, you know, the Knicks were on the mountaintop winning that game two. Philly was going home. They got punched in the mouth and they responded. Embiid dropped 50. I know their backs were against the walls. They were dirty in that game. I know it's not like the same thing. It's not apples to apples. But yeah, I mean, it's just something that about something. Obviously, game five left a bad taste in our mouth. But like you said, we just have to get one out of these next two. And it just so happens that one is in Madison Square Garden. You kind of gave Philly a little bit of confidence saying that they can win in MSG now. But we get there if there is a game seven. You worry about game six. And look, I honestly do think the Knicks will win will win game six. Like I picked Knicks in six. I picked them winning in the Wells Fargo Arena. I think Knicks fans will travel. I think Brunson is going to be pissed off. I think they're going to be pissed off, and that's just going to be their mentality. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with you if you don't feel confident because of what we experienced in game five. I get it, man. We're all human. That's why, like, I got so hyped when the Knicks went up 3-1. And look, it's not over till we get to four. So, yep. Speaking about, you know, the game again, in game five, the Knicks doubled Embiid a lot, Chris. And they were having success with it. At times, they were having success. Embiid had nine turnovers. Should they continue to double with Embiid? I got a graphic here from Ian Begley suggesting otherwise. But what were your thoughts when we kept throwing double teams after Joel Embiid?
I thought it was good at first. You know, yeah. I think when iHeart is out there, it's warranted, right? Because it's no secret iHeart has kind of struggled when he's defending Embiid for whatever reason. You know, he's just getting a lot of fouls drawn. So I think that's one thing. When Mitchell Robinson is out there on the court, I think it's another. You know, I think Mitch has shown that he's capable of defending Embiid in a one-to-one scenario, especially later in the game where, let's face it, Embiid is banged up, man. He's more banged up as the series goes on. And I don't feel like that commands a double team. I felt like, you know, late in game five, there were some double teams where you probably didn't need to. Mitch had things under control. But then you had Deuce sliding over to double Embiid, leaving Tyrese Maxey, again, who's on the same side as Embiid, wide open for a three-point shot. So, excuse me. Yeah. No, I don't think they should double at all times.
Yeah, this is from Ian Begley. The Knicks were better playing Embiid single up. They got two late steals that way, but when they helped on Embiid earlier in the fourth, bad things happened and open shots were created. That is from Brendan. Yeah. That's analysis from Brendan Brown. Look, when they were like, he was making bad decisions, man. He was turning the ball over a lot, but I feel like they can play him straight up. Like it kind of reminds me of when we double teamed Jimmy Butler in last year's playoffs. Like Embiid, yep. You don't like, especially late in these games where he doesn't want to bang down low. He's too tired. He's too exhausted. The knee's not holding up for him. But right now, your focus should be Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
That should be priority number one. It is not Joel Embiid. Your focus should be shifting to Tyrese Maxey because that man is a problem. He's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. That was my problem with, you know, late in game five. It was like, look, Joel Embiid, Mitchell Robinson, let them duke it out. If Joel Embiid wants to post up and take a fadeaway jumper at that stage of the game, let him take it. I'd rather give up the two at that point, obviously with the Knicks leading. Why give up a three to Tyrese Maxey wide open in the spot that he's been going to? Like that top of the, you know, three-point line, three-point shot where Maxey has been, you know, step backing into over and over again in this series, literally the hottest zone for him on the court. He's just waiting there for a pass from Embiid whenever Deuce slides over, and he's taking it with no hesitation, hitting it at a high clip. Why give that up? Give up the two. Give up the two. Give up the fader to Embiid, who's hobbled. You know, that can't be an easy jump shot for Embiid to take with the way he's banged up. That's one thing that did frustrate me about game five.
Yeah, and their role play, I think Tobias Harris had a good game for them. I'm not really expecting that from that. I think he started off hot. And Chris, these slow starts, man. I mean, every single game this series, the Knicks have kind of started off slow, and they've kind of like answered the bell. So, I mean, we've wanted the Knicks to like come out with a bang, come out swinging. I especially wanted them to do that in game five. It just didn't happen, but they did what they do best, is they come back and they took the lead. I think they went up by 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And look, slow starts has been an issue, but has it really been an issue if we're up 3-2 in the series? We were up 3-1. So it's just little things like that. I do want them to come out in game. I've been saying it for like three games. I do want them to come out in game six, though. Kind of sending a message like game five is not in our head anymore.
Yeah,
like we forgot about that game. And yeah. You want them to kind of look like things are clicking, getting Dante involved early. Ananobi's been absolutely incredible. Oh, man. So I want them to come out swinging in game six. And hopefully they will. I think they will.
I agree. Look, again, that's another thing we've been bringing up. We were, you know, before even this series started, we were like, look, the Knicks got to get off to quicker starts. They cannot just, you know, start slow and then hope to come back in these games.
Yeah.
That's exactly what has happened in this series. You know, luckily, like you said, the Knicks have been able to come back, tie things up, take the lead. You know, in game five, they went up by 10, which, in my opinion, I wish they were able to hold on to that lead and just add on to it. But This is the playoffs. Look, at this point, these teams know each other inside and out. They know what they're going to run, what they're going to do, and it's just basically who can make tougher shots, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I agree. I hope the Knicks come out in game six, pinpoint sharp, get everybody involved. You know, in a perfect scenario, that would be the case. But I do believe we cannot afford to start slow. Not in Philly, you know, because they're just going to be just as amped up, in my opinion. But the Knicks got to take it to another level, man. We got to go out there. We got to go out there, man, and we got to close this out in Philly, man.
Big Taz says the Knicks also lost the rebounding battle. We can't have that in game six. Yeah, man, they lost the rebounding battle. Josh Hart didn't grab an offensive rebound in game five. Kind of flipped the rebounding battle. So, you know, but not concerned. Like, the Knicks have been, you know, the best rebounding team within these playoffs. One of the best offensive rebounding teams in these playoffs. So I'm not too concerned about that, but, you know, just tip your hat off to Philly, man. They made adjustments and it worked for them. Big Tass also said Embiid is a decoy. Maxey is the guy you double team. Chris, I'm looking at Tyrese Maxey's percentages right now, and they're absolutely insane. His efficiency field goal percentage is 57%. It's crazy. Short mid-range, he's shooting 56%. Long mid-range, he's shooting 70%. Three, he's shooting 40%. And, yeah, non-corner threes at 37%. We played him good in game four. When we went up 3-1, when they put Josh Hart on him, they switched it up. I think when Maxey was guarded by Ananobi in game five, I think he didn't score. Like, he was 0-4. So I'm wondering if the Knicks put OG Ananobi back on Tyrese Maxey. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think that's the toughest puzzle to crack, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Tyrese Maxey is dynamic. He has that speed. So while you do say put OG Ananobi on, how many times have we seen Tyrese Maxey take him off the dribble, go through a pick and roll, you know, lose OG and just drive to the rim at will and basically draw foul after foul as well. I mean, I think it has to be, a team effort, in my opinion. You got to throw a little bit of OG. You got to throw a little bit of Josh Hart, Dante. Everybody has to do it by committee, in my opinion. You know, it's just tough when you have, you know, Joel Embiid out there setting these screens for him, and then you have Mitch or iHeart or, you know, out there and kind of on an island having to either defend Maxey when he gets by. You know, that's their bread and butter, man. That's the 76ers' bread and butter. I feel like we have made good adjustments to it. But you got to choose. You got to pick your poison, right? Yeah. Is it going to be Embiid that you're going to stop, or is it going to be Tyrese Maxey? I think at this point, I'll take my chances with Embiid, and I would double Tyrese Maxey. I would send it at Tyrese Maxey.
I don't think you can try to, like, throw some things at him, like trap him.
Yeah. Just different looks, you know. But that's not to say leave Embiid on an island by himself, you know, hitting jump shots or threes or anything like that. But that's the chess battle, man. That's the battle when it comes to the playoffs. These are things that the Knicks have to figure out for game six, man.
Yes, they do. Paul in the chat says, when you double him, just don't do it off Maxey a bit too much. Drop coverage on Maxey. He's talking about when you double Embiid. You don't want to, like, take your defender off of Maxey. And Maxey is right by Embiid. They're smart, you know. But, yeah, that it's just little adjustments like that that I feel like the Knicks can make in game six. They're gonna throw the whole everything at Philly. And another thing I notice is every time Philly makes a little run, and the Knicks call timeout to kind of calm things down and to kind of get their plays in order, to draw up a play coming out of a timeout. Every time after that TV break, what is Philly doing? They go into zone. Yeah. They go into zone to throw off the Knicks play. And it's working for the most part. And the guy who was killing them in that zone, unfortunately, got surgery today. and hoping for a speedy recovery in Bogdanovich. So yeah. It's just little things like that that Knicks have to be cognizant of. Every time a timeout, you take a timeout, expect Philly to come out of that TV break or that timeout in a zone defense. So every time I'm like, they're going zone after your timeout. Yeah. Come on.
I'm sure Tibbs is going to, you know, I'm sure Tibbs has noticed that he's going to have a counter for his counter, you know? Yeah. You're going to have to drop one play, but as soon as that zone, he's going to throw up his hands and motion for something else. And look, if there's one thing that I do know will happen, you know, that you can bank on, is the Knicks will be prepared for game six. I thought in game five, just a lot of uncharacteristic type of things that happened to the Knicks, where this is a Knicks team that's usually prepared and ready for late game situations. And in this case, you know, everything just fell apart for whatever reason. But game six, I don't see that being the case. We'll be prepared.
Man Overboard says double Maxi and OG on Embiid. It's interesting to see if the Knicks go back to OG and OB on Joel Embiid, or even Precious, man. Knicks 7-man rotation in game five. I kind of want them to get another man in there. You know, Precious had such a big game four that it actually surprised me that he didn't really get in there in game five. And yeah, I felt like in that late game situation where Mitch fouled Maxi, could have maybe subbed in Precious. You know, Mitch is kind of prone to fouling people behind the arc, but I don't know. But do you think Precious? I think Dibs, I think you got to go at least eight, man. These 7-man rotations are tough. I think you could sprinkle in Precious in some situations to kind of lessen the load on the defense, you know?
And yeah.
So,
I mean, the way Precious played before, man, we all thought he was going to see the floor, you know, after, you know, he had four blocks, he had big stops, he got rebounds, you know, in a short span of time at that, but he was effective. So I was surprised that he wasn't out there. You know, I get it. Mitch was handling business, was locking up Embiid. I could see it both ways. Why leave Mitch out there? But again, I just think it was just uncharacteristic of the Knicks. You've heard it all throughout, you know, social media and ESPN, the news outlets, whatever, saying that basically the Knicks didn't communicate properly. Things just didn't trickle down the way they should have. You know, somebody should have told Mitch, hey, if they go for a three, get your hand up and that's it. Don't jump. Don't this. You know, that's things that I'm sure normally would have been the case that just didn't happen. And like I mentioned, I just think, you know, uncharacteristic breakdown by the Knicks, who are usually really prepared for these late game situations.
Up on my screen, I have the free throw percentages. Free throw shooting for the New York Knicks this series just makes you want to pull your hair out, especially game four and game five. I think the Knicks missed in combined like 20 free throws in both of those games, in game four and game five. 10 in game five and I think 9 or 10 in game four. Jalen Brunson's at 78%, Josh Hart 66%, OG and Obi 75%, McBride's doing his thing, Devo, when he's getting to the line, he's hitting his shots. Bogdanovich 57%. So it's just little things like that, Chris. Free throw shooting has been, you know, it's like free throws, man. Hit your free throws. Every point is valuable in the playoff series. I mean, when Josh Hart went to the line, I was holding my breath, and then he missed the free throw. You make two free throws, and you win the game. But Jensley in the chat brings up a good point. Fatigue. What do you think about? Do you think fatigue factors into that free throw shooting?
I want to say yes, but the fact of the matter is our guys are conditioned for this. Our guys are conditioned to play 40 plus minutes. You know, at the time it was, you know, regulation, you know, that's why I don't want to say it was fatigue. Now in the overtime, I saw for the first time, you know, Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson looked like they were gassed, you know, in my opinion. There wasn't much left in the tank there when it came to overtime. But you're talking about guys playing 55 minutes at that point, 52, 55, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah, both sides.
But in regulation, Nah, I don't think so. I don't think fatigue. I just think the moment got the better of Josh Hart at the line. Like I mentioned before, he looked like eyes wide open at the free throw line, like he didn't want to be there. Like he did not want to be taking those free throws. And it sucks for me to say that, but that's exactly how it seemed to me. And the way that shot was short to begin with, we were lucky he hit the second one, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, he said it after the game that it won't happen again. He messed up. And guys took accountability, and that's all you want to do. I mean, take it in the chin. Yep. It is what it is. Meanwhile, Franklin in the chat says, we up. We are still in. We still have the momentum. We need one more. They need two more. Look.
Yeah.
That's it, man. All you have to do is get one game. One game, and then we advance. That's it. How are you going to respond? New York Knicks. Been battle-tested all year long. These guys are built for this. They will respond. Yeah. I'm sure they probably want to get out there tonight and play. It's all about how the New York Knicks respond, and all we need is one more. And, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm still feeling good, especially since we have Game 7 in MSG. And if it gets to that point, obviously we'll talk about that, but everything will be tight in that game. That would be like the lowest scoring game probably ever. But, you know, we want to focus on, you know, getting it in Game 6, and I think we will. I think we will.
Yeah. Look, we both said Knicks in 6.
Yeah.
Obviously, because of the circumstances of Game 5 and how that was going, we all got hyped. There's no secret. Like, everybody was celebrating. Look, when you're up 6 points, and damn, we should have known better after what we saw in Game 2 of this series, but look, we're fans, right? We're going to get excited. We were this close to closing out the Sixers at MSG, you know, something that hasn't been done in forever, basically. So that was also, you know, in the ether. But
25 years, 99.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, unfortunately, things didn't go our way. But what I will say is I loved how the New York Knicks responded in the post game.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of the 76ers after any loss. You know, we crying. Took accountability. Yeah. Jalen Brunson said, look, we got to be better. We can't hang our heads. Now's not the time. We got to just basically lay everything out on the floor. Leave it all out on the floor. You know, Josh Hart, I messed up. It won't happen again. Mitchell Robinson saying, you know, hey, I effed up. You know, that's on me. I love that. These guys are taking accountability. They're going to go. Obviously, they're going to watch tape. They're going to study. Come out in Game 6 prepared. And they're going to battle, man. That's one thing that you can count on this Knicks team, to be prepared and ready to go Game 6. And they're going to give it their all.
Look, two heartbreaking losses for both teams. It's going to come down to who's a more mentally tough team. And, you know, I got faith in the guys. Big Taz says, Thibs might be thinking that Precious is not a good scorer. Could be wrong. But it just surprised me because, you know, after he had such like a great impact in Game 4, to be like a man down in Bogdanovich and just to play 7 guys, especially a game that went into overtime, I think you got to play Precious, man. You know, he's not Steph Curry out there, but when need be, he could hit a 3, but that's not his, you know, that's not his game. But I just think that his impact that he made, I think you can surround him with, you know, guys I can score, OG, Devo, Deuce, and just go from there. But I feel like we will see Precious in Game 6. I'll be shocked if we don't see Precious in Game 6, honestly. I'll be shocked. Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, I don't think it's being like thrown out there like, yo, just throw Precious out there for 30 minutes or anything like that. I just think it has to be situational, you know, like Precious has quick feet, right? So he's like the perfect guy, in my opinion, to, you know, guard an Embiid and Maxi screen. You know, he's going to be able to get to Embiid. And if he sees that he needs to go over to Maxi, he's quick enough where he's going to be able to get there and challenge the shot, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's where you want to use him, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to stick him in a corner spotting up for 3 or anything like that, because you can argue, hey, Mitch can't do any of that either, right? So I just think it should be situational, but I thought he earned some playing time, you know, especially with Bogdanović being down. Why not have somebody else who can go in there, bang down low, and get you some hustle plays?
Yeah.
And you know, Precious has been good. He's shown that he can get the boards, get offensive boards as well, and put them back up if he needs to. So I'll be shocked, just as you are, if he doesn't play game six. But we need more guys out there, if anything, just to give some of our guys a breather every now and then.
It's the playoffs, though, man. It's not like I knew this coming into this playoffs, about the minutes thing. Look, this is why we're battle tested. We're ready for this. We're built for this. This is why people, when they complain about the minute police, because the Knicks are built to sustain, to play a lot of minutes. You know, the guys aren't going to complain. And yeah, so the 7-man rotation yesterday, it's the playoffs, man. But I think Davis will extend that to 8, and he'll play Precious periodically. He's not going to play him a lot, but we just have to wait and see. You know, we just have to wait and see. Jensley brings up a good point, though. I think he didn't put in Precious while in regulation because Mitch was a plus till about 50 seconds left.
Yeah.
Mitch was having a great game, you know, and he was having an amazing game. He set the tone early in that game. He got the crowd involved. He pushed Oubre to the ground. He brought that physicality. But yeah, fortunately, we know what happened. But
yeah, that's why I'm not really too torn up about it, because like I said, Mitch was out there guarding Embiid, you know, was handling him one on one, poking the ball loose, like turnover after turnover. And look, it was just one bad play, basically, that turned everything around there. So, you know, I get it, wanting to have, you know, Precious out there. But at the same time, you can't fault them for leaving Mitch out there, because Mitch was doing his thing.
Yeah.
Mitch did his thing.
Got a poll in the YouTube chat. What is the confidence meter for Knicks Nation right now? 39 votes on that poll. Wavering, not confident, or confident? Wavering is at 21%. Not confident is at 23%. Confident is at 56%. We want to get those confident votes up. We're still confident. I'm still confident. I believe in this team, and I feel like they're going to respond and go from there. What's your confidence level, Chris? Wavering, not confident, confident. Where you at? Where's your headspace?
I'm still confident, man. Look, game 5 sucked. I was upset. But we're still up in this series. Like I said, I liked everything that the Knicks said after in the post game. They're going to be mad. They're going to be focused. They're going to be prepared. You know, it's going to be a battle in game 6, but I like our chances still. I like our chances. Every game has been close. You better believe if this is a close game down the stretch, the Knicks are going to, you know, they're going to out-execute the 76ers.
That's the thing that was so frustrating about game 5, is because every game it was like the same thing. Knicks got the lead in the fourth quarter, and usually, but I just feel like when Deuce hit that shot to go up 6,
ugh,
I feel like the Knicks went back to the timeout. Sixers called timeout, dibs. They unlaced their sneakers and they were like, we got it. Can't play like that. The Knicks, that's uncharacteristic of them too. So and I feel like, you know, that's what hurts the most. But
yeah, you like saw,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say you even saw Brunson with his hands up. You know,
fist up. Yeah,
he was. Look, we all thought it was done. But like you said, uncharacteristic of the Knicks, and it's hard once you kind of mentally check out. It's hard to get back. It's hard to get back right away.
No excuses. You need to hit your free throws, from Doodle in the chat. Free throws have been a problem all year. Look, man, I mean, it's the easiest point in basketball, right? You go to the line, you practice your free throws. Just got to make them, man. Just got to make them.
Is it really like the easiest, though? If you think about it, you got hundreds of fans just screaming at you. And you're just at this line, just like thinking about everything that has happened. And, you know, look, I give all the credit to NBA players, you know, for not being rattled. But it's
a free throw.
It is a free throw. Yes, it is called a free throw. But how free is it?
It's free. Look, I know, I get it.
Like, from a pressure standpoint,
18,000 people are watching you. But look, man, hit your free throws, man. We wouldn't be talking about this. Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like frustrating because, like, all we can say is just hit your free throws. There's no like adjustments to be made or like little things we see maybe in their shot and their hitch. All we can say as fans is like, just hit your free throws, man.
Yeah.
That's look, it. It's not like it's Dante, right? Where we can be like, oh, maybe get him into more actions or more curls or, you know, break down the defense so he can get wide open shots. But yeah,
no, whatever. No, yeah. Look, I'm just saying that me sitting on the couch watching the game, you know, it's easy for me to say hit your free throws. But look, on the flip side, these guys get paid to do this day in and day out. You know, they're free throws. You know, those are layups for them, or they should be. And there's no excuse. We got to hit those free throws. Again, you're talking about if Josh Hart hits that first free throw.
Yeah,
this pod right now is a celebration of a series win.
Yes, indeed. This is from earlier. Philadelphia 76ers ownership group is purchasing 2,000 tickets to Sixers fans to Game 6. The tickets will be distributed to first responders, healthcare professionals. They are trying to take us out of their building. They are trying to take us, Knicks Nation, out of the Wells Fargo Arena. It's not going to happen. Knicks Nation, I know, you know, a few people are still going to travel. So it's going to be loud in there. It's going to be hectic. I'm not going to say it's going to be a hostile environment because we're used to playing in there and we're used to winning in there. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to win.
I mean, look, unbiased opinion on this. I think it's pretty dope. I mean, look, like I said, I wish Dolan would come out, buy some tickets and send some New Yorkers out there as well. You know, like one up the freaking 76ers. But like you said, I have no doubt Knicks Nation is going to show up. You know, we're going to hear chants no matter what. I'm pretty sure you're going to hear some MVP chants for Brunson. But look, the Knicks they've proven to be road warriors, man. And this is another game on the road that I'm pretty sure. Look, again, I'm confident that we're going to go out there and give it our all, you know. And I think we're going to come out on top. I've always said it. Knicks in six.
Yes, sir. Knicks in six. We've said it before the series. I'm saying it now. You just got to get it done. Guys will respond. 9 o'clock start too, Chris. On a Thursday, the game is on the East Coast. And it starts at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, really? NBA? Like,
those are I don't like the 9 o'clock starts. I also don't like the 1 p.m. starts either, man. Those are like the two that historically I've never liked. But I guess if I had to choose one, it would be the 9 p.m., right? But
no, I would choose the 1 p.m.
I don't like the 1 p.m.
This game is going to end at like 11:30, 12, knowing these games have been longer. So probably around like 11:30, 11:45-ish. And hopefully, you know, obviously it results in a Knicks series win. But when I saw that, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Doodle says in the NBA, sometimes your best defense has to be your offense. Yeah, look, the Knicks have been, I think, statistically, they've been the best in terms of efficiency-wise. Their offensive rating, has been, you know, the best up there in the playoffs. And in this series, Chris, Brunson had the amazing game 4. Game 5, I saw a lot of things about Jalen Brunson. He was trying to put the team on his back in that overtime. We went up 5 points in that overtime. But he was just trying, I thought, a little bit too much. Could have been more passive there. And he's taking a lot of shots, but he needs to take a lot of shots because nobody else is stepping up except, you know, obviously Deuce and, you know, Mitch. But Devo hasn't been shooting the ball well. So in terms of Brunson, like, he hasn't really been that inefficient. But last game, it kind of just magnified, you know, the last stretch, you know, in especially in that overtime, the fourth shot in regulation. Do you like what when you saw that, what was your feeling? Because I know you texted me some of a few things about it.
So. Yeah. So like that's one thing that's been on my mind or was on my mind for the most part today was just we saw a little bit of a different Jalen Brunson. And the more I think about it, the more I have a different view on it. But look, Jalen Brunson started off that overtime. He was hot.
Yeah.
Hit a three. Hit a two. He scored 5 points on his own. Knicks had the lead. But then after that, it was just dribbling down the clock and taking a tough three. And then we all know the turnover he had with Batum, you know, getting a good contest on him. Iheart not really knowing what he was going to do, and he throws the ball away. But that's kind of what I didn't like in the overtime was Jalen Brunson was just going. I think he took 8 out of the 10 shots in that overtime.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like it because what did you see? OG Anunoby, Josh Hart, you know, Iheart. They were all just spread out like a 5 out and nobody was moving. So I felt like they made it too easy for the 76ers because while, yes, you do want Jalen Brunson out there attacking in overtime and taking, you know, bringing you to the promised land, you can't make it that easy because the 76ers have two options, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. No matter how bad Embiid was playing, you still got to honor him, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody in the arena knows Jalen Brunson is going to take the shot. So what I didn't like was that they didn't pass the ball around. They got away from the team ball that got them there. You know, it became all an ISO, ISO, ISO. And I felt like that just bailed out the 76ers, in my opinion.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I saw that too. But they were trapped. They did trap him. And then he passed it to Deuce at the top of the key. And then he splashed a mid-range shot. And I just felt like they weren't. At that point, like when everything transpired, I just feel like everyone was in shell shock. I just felt like they weren't. Dibs, you saw him just staring at the clipboard and like just, I don't know. But they'll look. Brunson has been incredible this series. I mean, say what you want about game five. Did he force some things? Did he make a bad turnover? Yeah. But one thing I know about Brunson is that he's going to respond and he's going to prove everyone wrong. That's what he does. And then the funny thing is Maxey had that great game, that big shot. And all you heard today was, is Maxey the next face of the NBA? And, you know, when Brunson had that great game 4, you didn't hear any of that. So,
yeah,
it is what it is.
I mean, not only that, but Jalen Brunson had a hell of a game as well. You know, look, I get it. The winning team will overshadow anything that the losing team does. But come on, man. I still think at the end of the day, look, you do want Jalen Brunson taking those shots. You want Jalen Brunson to have the ball in his hands, making the right decision. I just felt like maybe, you know, he was trying to do it all by himself when he probably could have did things a little bit different. But it is what it is at this point.
Knicks will be 2024 NBA champs. I'm not trusting Dante as a starter in this series. And then Mike says, I agree. Start Deuce. Getting that a lot. Start Deuce. But look, I don't. Deuce is closing out these games. If Dante's going to have another one of his stinkers, just can't happen, man. Dante, please come to the party, man. The party has started, Dante DiVincenzo, in case you forgot. The party has started. You know, I know you hit that big three in game 2, and I love you for that. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely incredible moment. But we need you. We need you to start hitting these threes. We need you. We need the Knicks to honestly break down the 76ers to get Dante open. So, yeah. It'll happen.
Do you think Dante's being benched so much for his offensive woes rather than defense? Because I really think it's the defensive end where he's just getting benched. Because, again, Dante likes to gamble in those passing lanes. And once he does, that's a big breakdown right after. You know? And that's what I think Tibbs is seeing, and I think that's what Tibbs is doing, is taking him out because Dante gambles too much.
Yeah, Deuce has been.
I don't think it's the offense because, in my opinion, look, that's one guy that they know they cannot leave wide open. So I think that helps offensively spread the floor when he's out there. But defensively, maybe Dante just has to be a bit smarter and not take, you know, as many gambles.
Look, the beauty of having Deuce on the bench is that, you know, he can come in and give you shooting. I mean, I think he's one of the next best three-point shooters in this series. He's been incredible. Mid-range and three-point shooters. So he can do what Dante, you know, obviously Dante hasn't been shooting the ball well. And Deuce is a better defender. And Deuce, for the most part, has been keeping up with Maxey. So Dante, sneaky good defender. Led the league, I think, one of the lead. I think he was top five in deflections this year. But, yeah, it's a combination of everything. But, you know, you just got to get it going, man. You just got to get it going. I mean, it's game six. It's game six, man. We need you. When Devo hit a three, we kind of went away from him. Heard that today, too, when Devo hit that three. The reason why the Knicks went away from him is I think Philly went big. I forgot who they subbed in, and then kind of Dante, that so Tom Thibodeau,
like, subbed them out.
Subbed them out and combated that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I noticed that too, and I didn't like it. You know, it was like just when you think he's going to get rolling, because that's the thing with Dante. Once he hits one, it's like an avalanche almost.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to take the next one. And again, that's somebody that, as the season has gone on and you see how he's been shooting, you know he's a flamethrower. If he hits one, he's probably going to hit the next one. He's probably going to hit the next one after that as well. So I was kind of disappointed when he got subbed out.
Big Tat says, I'm bothered by Keyshawn Johnson saying the 76ers are the better team and should be up 3-1. Look, Big Tat, we've been going through that all series long, but at the end of the day, we just got to take care of business and shut everyone up. You know, we got to get to four, shut everyone up, and just that's it at the end of the day. This was the last two-minute report saying that Maxey traveled. Like I said earlier, just throw it out. Just what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? I mean, I don't know. But
it is what it is, man. Look, that's the equalizer for game two. So everything's even now, and we just got to take care of business in game six, man. Let's close this out.
Knicks news, Julius Randle is back with CAA.
What?
This randomly came out a couple of hours ago. You know, Randle left CAA, then went back to CAA. In
less than a year, right? It wasn't even a year.
Was it? Yeah, I think so. So, obviously, I was like, that's weird.
No, that's kind of strange. I mean, hey, man, like I said, I've said in the past, I think Julius Randle is part of the solution here with the New York Knicks beyond this season, of course. I mean, look, if anything, this should be good news, right? It means he's going to stick around. Who knows? It could be nothing whatsoever. You know, if I had a guess, I'm assuming he's going to be around, man. I really think Julius Randle is part of the solution. And, man, you know, could we have used Julius Randle in this series?
Miss you, Big Jew, man. Miss you, Big Jew. But, yeah, thought this was interesting to bring to you guys' attention. Julius Randle is back with CAA. Knicks news. Obviously, we're focused on the playoffs, but this just came out a couple of hours ago. All right, game six is look, got to get it done. We got to get it done. Game six, win the series, and then we, you know, talk about whoever's next. But I don't want to do that. I don't even, like, I've seen a lot of things on Twitter about off-season stuff. A couple of days ago, the rumors. I was like, come on, man. Come on. We got to focus on the playoffs, man.
It's not time for that.
It's the playoffs. It's not time for all that, man. I don't want to see Devin Booker. I don't want to see any of that right now. I want to focus on game six, and I want to focus on beating the Philadelphia 76ers because that's what we need to focus on. And that's what we got to do. And I feel like the Knicks will close it out, and we got to get it done. It's how the Knicks respond.
Yep.
We lost one battle. We just got to win the war. So.
Yeah, man. Two games to go. I mean, in my opinion, we got to get one of these. It's going to be game six. Like I said, Knicks in six. We're going to see a focused, prepared Knicks team, and we're going to close this series out the way we should have in game five.
The way we should have in game five. Ooh, Tris, trivia. You ready?
Let's do it. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. What team did the New York Knicks defeat to win the 1969-1970 NBA championship? Is it the Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, or the Minnesota Timberwolves?
1969-1970. That's a long time ago.
It's a long.
We gotta start visualizing this. There we go. What team did the New York Knicks defeat to win the 1969-1970 NBA championship? The Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns, the Los Angeles Lakers, or the Minnesota Timberwolves? You know, it's, I think I know who it is.
All right.
Seeing a couple of guesses in the chat. But I think I have an idea of who it is. I don't think it's the Timberwolves. So I'm going to eliminate
it. Telling me it can't be the Timberwolves?
No. I don't think it's the Suns either. I think I know this because, like, obviously we haven't won that many championships. So, but I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers final answer.
All right. You are correct. It Boom. Was indeed the Los Angeles Lakers. A team that had Jerry West and Will Chamberlain at that. But yes, the New York Knicks prevailed and won the 70 NBA championship. Hoping the Knicks do that this season as well.
Hoping, we're getting there. We got to get there. But yeah, it was the Lakers. Was it Jerry? You said Jerry West was Jerry West?
Yeah, Jerry West, yeah. Will Chamberlain on that team.
Big Taz got it really quick in the chat. He said Lakers right off the bat. Shout out to Big Taz. Doodle said Lakers. Doodle said the Timberwolves in 1970. Were the Timberwolves a team in 1970?
I don't think so. Hey, man, got to give you a couple process of elimination choices in there.
Try to throw me off. Knicks will be 2024 NBA champs as both titles were against the Lakers. In case you want to try to stump me next for 2 weeks, it's the Lakers.
Hey, man, I'm going to throw some crazy question at you next time.
Yes, sir. Game 6. Let's do it. We're going to get it done. Knicks Nation, we're going to get it done. Appreciate every single one of you for joining us. Episode 50, man. This is a big milestone. We've done 50 podcast episodes.
Wow.
It's already 5-0. Thumbs up from the chat. Subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on Apple, Spotify, you know, make sure you follow us there as well. It helps us out as well. Appreciate every single one of you for supporting. You know, you can also support, become a member, lowest $2.99. Support the channel, support the movement. And also, yeah, man. Yeah, Chris. I mean, it's just support goes a long way. And, you know, we love every single one of you.
Yeah, man. We can't do this without you guys. And it's an honor, man, to be, you know, on this and just giving our thoughts, you know, chopping up with everybody. And we appreciate everything and especially your time being on here and, you know, choosing us to provide you Knicks content. So I love it, man.
Yes, sir. Let's get it done. Game 6.
Gotta close it out. Gotta close it out, man.
We will. All right. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation. Appreciate every single one of you in here. As always, it is Let's Go Knicks. Catch you guys next time.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.